Hi, this is Jennifer from Maryland, and you're listening to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm still shaking from our live podcast that we did for Eye of the Storm.
I'm still just shaking that the finale has come and gone, and what a wild ride. And you know, today's a super special day because we get to introduce one of our great friends, Anne Gavin. She's one of our senior writers and the news editor for Outlander Cast, and she's also an amazing patron of ours. So Anne, feel free to say a little hello, tell us about yourself, and how you got into the entire Outlander experience.
Well, hello, guys. Great to talk to you today. And so I am so happy to be here, but yet so sad. Is that possible?
Yes.
Because we're at the end of season 3. What a crazy season, but so good. Mm-hmm. And still also quivering from having spent the finale with all of our wonderful listeners and readers from Outlander Cast in Providence. It was so much fun and so great to see everybody. But my Outlander story, it was Thanksgiving 2014, and I was at a friend's house having Thanksgiving dinner, and they said to me, I think you would really like this show, and we put in episode 101, which they'd already seen, and we watched it, and we were still in our sort of tryptophan turkey haze, so we didn't actually finish the show, but I went home that night and just was, like, obsessed with it. And the next day, Friday after Thanksgiving, I woke up and binged all of season 1A. So from like 9 o'clock in the morning till or 8 hours later, I didn't do anything but watch Outlander. So that was it. I was hooked. And in August of 2015, I wrote my first blog post for Outlander Cast blog. And yeah, the rest is history.
Wow. Now, did you ever think that you would get so caught up in a fandom of this nature?
No.
Had you ever been caught up in a fandom like this?
No, never. This was the first time I'd ever been that obsessed with anything, even remotely like this. So, no, it was very odd for me, very strange. But I think it's a pretty common story. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one that this has happened to.
I agree. I think that's... You know, so many people have said that they never would have dreamed that something like this could sweep them up, not only into a book or a show, but also into a community, which has been great.
Yes, the community aspect of it has been fantastic, I have to say. I love it. And I've made some really great real life friends, as we all talk about. You guys, the staff at the blog, it's been very joyful. So that's a good thing. Find some joy in life. And Outlander has definitely been that for me.
Well, before we begin, we wanted to let you listeners know that episode 112 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a place of discovering the best makeup and skincare products while uncovering your confidence as a woman. Now, the easiest way to learn about MinuteWithMary.com is to actually search the hashtag MinuteWithMary in Facebook. I want you to request to join my VIP group. I'm going to share tips, tricks, deals, all sorts of good things with you. And you're going to hopefully become a bit more confident in your skin and have a bit of fun experimenting with makeup. And people who are the Sassenach level or above as patrons for Outlander Cast, that's the $10 level and above, receive a 10% off discount. So once again, Minute with Mary, just search that hashtag on Facebook, or you could visit MinuteWithMary.com.
All right, ladies, you ready to release the hounds?
Yes.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
So naturally, I think we should start off like we did last week, but we should start off this week with Anne's GBG, the good, bad, and great. Anne, what do you have for us?
So, for my good, is the deep tank in the Cape Town studios. All the underwater shots, all of them. The rescue dive, the rescue breath, all of it. That was like a lip quivering moment for me as Jamie was swimming towards Claire. It was just, the way they did that was just really great. And I found it interesting this week in reading some comments from some of the folks had seen the episode that they had trouble suspending belief that, you know, she wasn't already like at the bottom of the ocean by the time he got to her. But I mean, you know, folks, this is time travel. I mean, come on. I think it was a cinematic kind of deal and I thought it worked and I just thought it was beautiful. So that was my good. My bad was the cartoon like Craig Nadun stone circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? girl was pulling out all the stops. She had stones, jewels, blood, portal pool, stone circle. I mean, I don't know. It looked goofy. It looked almost like the real Craig Nadun. I was like, what the heck? So I didn't like that, but whatever. And then the great were all the G's, Galus and Lord John Grey. Just exquisite looking human beings, compelling acting, the physicality of the both of them and how they play their roles. Just so, so, so good. And LJG's perfect eyebrows. I mean, hashtag brow goals. I mean, he is just, I mean, a little porcelain doll, but I mean, he's just beautiful. So I love that scene with him and Jamie and Captain Leonard and Galus, just all her scenes. I thought she was great. I am going to be sad to see her go. I think Lada just really embodied that character in Outlander and just played the heck out of it. So that was my great. And then my honorable mention, just because, is Bear McCreary all season long. And this episode, no exception. The music, the various themes that he composed, the callbacks from previous episodes, and even in season two, and the faith theme are just exquisite. And love him. And, you know, I can't wait for you guys to get him back on the podcast and talk about everything that he did for this season, because it was just so good. So good.
Well, Bear, if you're listening, come back on the show.
Bear Flair.
Yes. We need to start a hashtag campaign for him to get back on.
We can talk about Bear Flair. I like it.
Yes, absolutely.
And by the way, David Barry has definitely had all of the minutes with Mary. I just want to say that. He's had every single minute there's ever existed with
the
Mary.
The Flawless Four is very, very nice on him, yes.
Do you think he uses the brow palette?
And the lip stain.
My gosh, right?
He looked like he had a little bit of a tan, thankfully, than before when he looked like we were talking about a little vampire-ish. But I guess Jamaica agreed with him. But yeah, he was just
give him a
amazing.
Little color.
He wasn't full vampire quite yet, which is
no,
good.
No, and the one thing I did like about that scene in particular was that, you know, we've seen him in almost sort of a, you know, timid, somewhat of a timid position. And I know from having been a book reader that, you know, there's a lot to him and his character, and he is a very strong man. And we actually got to see that, you know, in this particular scene. And I like that. And, you know, I think there's more to come. And I mentioned this before. I'm not a really big Lord John Grey fan as far as him in the books. But I am a David Barry fan. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to make me like Lord John Grey a lot better.
I like that.
Let me ask you, Anne, and I know I have zero context, so it's hard for me to understand, but why don't you like Lord John in the books as much as you don't in the show?
Because he takes his obsession with Jamie too far, in my opinion. I mean, we see it in later books, so I don't want to spoil for those who have not read, and you in particular, Blake, but
you know, he just maintains this sort of obsession with Jamie. He is a very good friend to Jamie, and they've maintained their friendship. But there's just certain types where I'm just like, really? Come on. Like, he just, it's like, you got to get over it, dude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just annoys me. Like, it pops up a lot later on, and I found it annoying. So I don't know, maybe he'll annoy me later on when he comes, you know, when we see him again. But right now, I think, you know, I had a sort of idea in my mind of what he looked like. Actually, he doesn't really look at all like that. But I think David Barry's just such a great actor. And I'd been exposed to him before. I've seen, you know, all seasons to date of A Place to Call Home, where he plays a major character in that Australian sort of drama. And he's very, very good in that as well. So I don't know. It's an actor making you like a character, I guess. And to, you know, to their credit and to his credit.
You've stumbled into the Tobias Menzies Frank zone a little bit here, because I think I liked Frank so much because of Menzies' performance. It just felt honest to me. It felt like I could really relate to it. And I think we're on the same level here a little bit as it relates to why we like these certain characters.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying Tobias Menzies is an outstanding actor. I mean, no question about it. I'm not a Frank hater. I've actually written about why I think Frank is very important to Claire's story, and even to a certain extent, Jamie's story. But I think, you know, it was sort of a rehabilitation that the television show gave him, because he wasn't as nice or as sympathetic in the books. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the facts. So, you know, he was given a lot of great, you know, Tobias was given a lot of great material. There was a lot of gaps that were filled in that Diana had kind of sorted, hinted at, but didn't really spend a lot of time exposing. And, you know, that was a creative choice that the showrunner made. And I mean, it is what it is. You know, I think it's great to see Tobias on screen. He killed it as BJR for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good as Frank. And, you know, there was a little news this week that Ron made when he said, hey, we're going to see if we can get, Tobias back and for future seasons. And so lots of people had lots to say about that. but I get it. You know, I get it. He's great. I mean, he's a busy actor, so we'll see. Take the time to do quote unquote flashbacks. But I think we might be on the same page, Blake. Yep. I think we might.
There we go. Well, let's start on the website here. Allie Buru comments, and she says, her good was that she liked the parallels between the dancers. It didn't strike her as spoon-feeding because it showed us visually, which is how TV should work. Blake, you know you would have been throwing epic shade if Claire had done one voiceover here, so come on. Seeing it the way we do makes a connection through lost ages of time.
I liked it.
And it deepens the mystique of how the time travel works. These two disparate groups of people, separated by vast distances and culture, somehow have the same kind of ceremony that sends chills down my spine. I dig it.
Me too.
The bad. Dear Lord, why do they only give us 13 episodes? Stas, you know this show is going to be watched. You know it's a moneymaker. Why shortchange both the production crew and the viewers by not giving us enough time? We needed 16 episodes, at least. And Voyager is just too big of a story to condense this way. I'm giving props to the production crew for doing as well as they did, because really, they did a fantastic job with what they had. But this episode especially suffered from a lack of time, and we needed more of everything that we got except chicken blood. that bummed me out. I want that chicken. He was my favorite breed of chicken. We just needed more time, and that's my big, big bad. But the great was panning back through the eye of the storm. I'm a meteorology nerd, and that shot was pure weather porn. That's my girl. All right.
Yes.
I watched it over and over and over again. Bravo. It was both visually beautiful and starkly daunting, since if they're in the middle of the hurricane, there's no way out but through the body of the monster engulfing them. It took my breath away. I give this episode in particular, a 4.8 kilt rating.
Okay, I can get behind that too. Browse PS wrote in saying Matt has been the second unit director since day one, so not totally new to directing.
Well, hold on, time out before we continue.
Yeah?
Yes, I agree that he may have been the second unit director. However, second unit directing is nowhere near the same as being the actual director of a show.
I agree.
Like, it's not even close. Like, it's second unit directors get establishing shots and take certain things. It's totally different. Sorry,
but anyway, I'll go back to Bros PS.
I think it's Bruff PS.
Bruff?
Yes, Bruff.
Oh, I'm thinking like bros, like we're bros, man.
Sup, brah?
The sounds Claire doesn't make is my favorite scene in all of the books and Diana's too. So glad they put it into the show. There was more beard when Jamie was on the beach than the 4-day growth he was supposed to have in that scene. And I would agree. I'd agree. There were a few days to a week before killing Galus and the Rumpy Pumpy. It's mentioned in the show. Mm-hmm. I loved Eten. Oh, God, I always mess up.
Do it. Just do it.
Etencho?
Yes, you got it. Good job.
I did it? For
yes,
real?
Yes, you did. Etencho.
Oh, my God. I'm high-fiving you across the airwaves, Anne. I'm just high-fiving you because I'm so excited I did it right. And Margaret getting together. So much better than they were in the storyline of the book. Going had to disagree with you on Starbuck, Blake. She was a B-I-T-C-H. Plain and simple. Nothing more.
Oh,
and, you know, I'm not...
That's
I'm
banana
not,
land.
No, well, I'm not in love with Starbuck either, so
that
it's not
a,
banana
that
land.
That is banana land.
Banana split, okay? Lord John Grey was fantastic in his putting down of Lieutenant Leonard. Agree with Mary that it did make Jamie seem arrested, getting arrested worth it. Totally worth it.
What do you think, Anne? Do you think it seeing Lord John Grey the way that we did it make getting Jamie arrested worth it for you?
Oh boy, because I was really not happy about that arrest.
Right, me too.
Because I was like, really? I mean, how many times do they have to be parted? And particularly since that wasn't actually in the book. Mm-hmm. I guess now looking back, to have that scene with Lord John was probably does make it worth it. And Jamie was in jail, so little time, then I guess it was okay. So I think I would agree with that.
I think it's just too manipulative for me. Like it's too, they needed to find a way to get him to Lord John Grey.
Totally fine with him getting to Lord John Grey in that scene. I loved it.
I don't know.
And just for the record, when we first see Claire drowning, the music is the same used when Jamie and Claire are visiting Faith's grave.
Oh, man. That was actually a really cool callback. Mm-hmm. That was a really cool callback.
It was. Totally agree.
Dawn says the 200-year-old baby prophecy was so easy to figure out. It really was. Galus would have been ready to kill anything in her way, and since Galus was so invested in having a Scottish king on the throne, I think as a time traveler, perhaps Galus should have went back in time to be Bonnie Prince Charlie's wife. Then she would have had a shoe in the throne. Just a thought. And if Starz had given more than 13 episodes, perhaps Galus could have been haunted the show much earlier than last week, and then watchers could have been more invested with her and her motivations. I really was not invested in the idea of the treasure until Bree was mentioned way too late. And I actually really agree with this. If we had gotten a little bit more of an indication that Galus was kind of being nefarious here, mm-hmm. over time, I think it would have been a much better reveal and much better play out. There is one thing that drove me crazy, though. For a woman who was supposed to be so smart, what the hell, Claire? She reverted right back to her dynamics in both sides now, I think, with Blackjack Randall and told Galus everything when she knew Galus was a murderer and could not be trusted. Claire, what are you thinking, girl? The dance sequence was amazing as it was juxtaposed with the witches of Craignadoon, and if anything, at least Claire saved Bree. So, and when Jamie said to Claire, "We lost faith and we will not lose Brianna," I teared.
Yes.
Up. Oh my goodness gracious. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Did you buy that, Anne, about the whole motivation about them going to Galus and then separating themselves again and doing that whole thing?
Yeah, I did. And let me just address this more than 13 episodes because this is now the second comment. So I actually listened to the podcast from Matt and Tony about the episode earlier today. And they talked about the fact that, you know, they had to, you know, condense a lot of Voyager. And Tony said, "I don't like to think of it as cutting," because she said, people always ask us, what did you cut? And she said, it's not so much cutting, it's how did we condense the storyline? And, you know, we talked about doing Voyager in two seasons, right? So the book would be cut into two different seasons. But she said, we decided not to do that. And then Matt chimed in and said, if we had done that, then it's very likely that the print shop scene would have been the cliffhanger, you know, would have been the last episode, the finale. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's no way the Outlander fans would have waited 13 episodes for that reunion. Mm-hmm. So that was what he said. I tend to agree. I think it's a big book. They had to do a lot of condensing. This episode in particular. Now it's funny because I felt this episode was one of the best paced episodes for me, meaning it just moved well, I thought, compared to some other episodes where I just didn't feel like, and I felt like there were sort of abrupt start and stops with the storyline. But, you know, I think they had to do a lot. There was a lot in the book around the prophecy. It was very complicated. I think they did their best to simplify it enough that non-book readers would be able to understand it. And I think they wrapped it up pretty nicely in the cave. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everybody would love to have seen more season or more episodes. But, you know, in TV land, 13 is kind of a lot. I don't know how the heck they ever got 16 for season one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. It's television production and it's different. And I think they did it. I think they did a good job. And I did buy it with Galus. But maybe that's because I've read the books. And so I sort of know, you know, how she was thinking about all of this and how Claire perceived it. But I thought it was fine.
On Facebook, Ann Platzer says, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I was disappointed in this episode. I might give it a 3 kilt. Not a book reader, so I will say that up front. The sort of good was the first 30 minutes raced by and were full of suspense, but a lot of the action and pacing felt off. And the dialogue between Claire and Galus at the beginning would have been lovely if I hadn't known from last week that Galus was insane and determined to kill Wee Ian. I loved the discussion of their lives, their time travel, and all they had in common, and it felt like it gave a nice context to the season. It tied back to the prior seasons. But it was hard to even concentrate on it given what we saw last week and what I knew was coming. And see, now, I love this because we have this Anne here, and then we have Anne on the line with us right now saying, hey, the pacing was good. And then Anne on Facebook saying, hey, the pacing sucked. Yeah. And it's great. It's such a call out to what you can expect from television mm-hmm. and how each person yeah. watches it differently. You yes, know what I mean? Isn't yes. that awesome?
Yeah, that's totally awesome. Yeah, I love it.
The bad for Facebook Anne was the jungle dancing made me feel very uncomfortable. I don't know if it was historically accurate, but I didn't think there was any effort to put it in cultural context. It reminded me of scenes I used to see in cartoons from the 1950s of African witch doctors. Also bad, the underwater rescue scene looked so unrealistic that my husband and I burst out laughing and said, oh, come on. The underwater kiss reminded me of the prince rescuing Sleeping Beauty with his kiss. It was beautifully photographed, but I couldn't suspend my disbelief enough to enjoy it. And the great, once they were safe on the ship, I enjoyed the scene between Jamie and Claire. The beach scene was at the end was lovely. I also liked the group hug with Claire and Ian, but I wished Fergus and Marsley were there too.
Right? Where are they? Are they safe? Are they dry? Do they have some food?
I will say that I don't think it was just a kiss. It was more like I'm trying to give you air. Yeah, that's
rescue breath, which is a term that I learned at the Outlander finale party.
Oh, there you go.
I've never heard of that before, but I like the way it sounds. Rescue breath.
Yeah.
sounds kind of hot.
But you know, this is so funny. Just like you were saying, like about how different people can feel different ways, because I myself loved the dancing scene and Anne loved the underwater rescue scene. And this is what makes listener feedback episodes so fun.
Right. I know. I mean, I could see why the dancing scene made some people uncomfortable. Like I get it. Like, or it felt like, oh, are we approaching this correctly? You know what I mean? I can see that.
I have to say, though, I mean, there's nothing that the Outlander crew doesn't do without mm-hmm. extensive research and detail. Mm-hmm. And I have to believe, and I know that they hired all those dancers because Toni talked about it today. Mm-hmm. She said, I saw the dailies of the dancers in their street clothes rehearsing. Mm-hmm. And she said, it was so wonderful and I couldn't wait to see them in costume.
Right.
So I'm fairly certain that somebody, I mean, these are people who go back and find articles when Ireland became a country and put it in the show. I mean, I'm certain that they actually did their research on what an actual sort of voodoo-like ceremony would have looked like. So I'm going to defend them on that. And I thought it was a little bit too much voodoo, but I loved the callback to the Druids dance. That was actually the one thing in episode 101 that flipped the switch for me, mm-hmm. and that's how I got hooked on Outlander. So mm-hmm. I actually loved that they brought that into it.
That's still definitely one of the most beautiful sequences I've ever seen on television.
Yes. Absolutely. I've replayed that scene so many times. And it's in my car on repeat a lot of the time, too.
Oh, I bet. You know, one thing that was really unique at the finale event that we had in Providence is there were some people there who were vendors who stayed to watch the finale who had only seen season one. And I loved that this episode made a lot of sense to them still with repeat characters, but also having that scene, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. the Druids dance would have been so fresh in their minds and now they got to see it again. It's, I don't know. I'm behind it. Okay. Malia Fiction on Facebook gave this episode 4 kilts, some beautiful visuals, awesome score and great acting, but overall impact let down by terrible editing, disjointed scenes and breakneck pace, which irritated me. Claire and Galus's conversation without Jamie there was done well. I enjoyed watching these two together, and Lord John Grey was awesome. And I loved how he handled Leonard. That's dressing down for the ages. Jamie finding Claire, opening a locked door, that scene seemed to lack a few seconds of clarity. Loved Bree's message conveyed by Margaret, the horror of the moment, with the dancers and the druid music melding. I missed Galus showing Jamie and Jamie's conversation with Ian post-cave. Jamie holding them both was perfect, Jamie. The gorgeous underwater sequence, and Claire took a long time to open her eyes with no coughing up of water. So on to season 4. So, you know, I agree that the Bree coming through Margaret, it almost, because it was so fast-paced, because the dancing was going on, the music was fast and furious, and then they had to hurry up and go to the cave. That was an interesting moment that I don't mm-hmm. feel like a lot of people got to digest. That was like the first time Jamie got to somewhat hear from his daughter.
Right, right.
And she used your favorite term, mama.
Right, Mary? Right? You're not mama. 10.
hey, are you ready for something?
What? Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. I think I got an outlandish theory on this.
Wait, right now?
Right now. I'm thinking... You remember how she was saying, oh, there's a monster coming to get me, yada, yada, stop the monster, blah, blah, blah. I'm wondering, everyone was thinking that she was talking about Galus. And I'm not sure if she was talking about Galus. I think it could be something else. Not literally a monster, but it's something. I think it's almost like future Bree was talking to past Claire, obviously, like, but like future in terms of the the show, and like it's something that we have yet to see out of Bree, and it's something that's actually happening to her. That is my outlandish theory.
And can you give Blake an interesting for me?
I was just gonna say 1, 2, 3, Mary.
Interesting.
Oh boy. Yeah,
we shall see.
We will see. I will say to Malia here. You know, I think the editing was a little funny. I was actually talking with Holly actually at the Outlander finale party, and we had both kind of agreed that the editing seemed a little jumpy, and we wondered because perhaps when they wrote the episode mm-hmm. or when they filmed it, that the episode was supposed to be longer. And
as like finales have been in the past, you
right.
mean?
Yeah, instead of it being with the 54 minutes or whatever the hell it was that we got, they must have got a mandate from Stars to be like, this needs to be cut down so we can get Counterpart, the new show with J.K. Simmons, up.
I thought they used the extra minutes earlier in the season. I thought that's why this one had to be shorter, is that they only get so many minutes per season and that Ron Moore shifted them in the earlier part of the season. What do you think, Anne?
Well, I mean, I don't know that anybody confirmed this at Starz or even in the writer's room or with the crew, but there definitely was a lot going around early on before the season started that the finale was going to be 75 minutes. And I want to say that I actually even saw like a cable list, you know, that showed the episodes and it said, you know, 75 minutes for the finale. So that was a while ago, granted, but I think I agree with you and Holly, Blake, because I think they had planned it to be a longer finale like they did season two. Mm-hmm. And then I think the powers that be said, hey, we got this new show. You know, we're going to use the Outlander audience to sort of perk everybody up for this new show. And I think they had to go back and shorten it considerably. There was nothing made mention of that today when I listened to the podcast from Tony and Matt. And I don't think anybody asked the writers that question because they have already answered the writers have already answered all the questions on Twitter that they've done, you know, after the episode. So be interesting to ask that question of somebody who might be in the know. But I tend to agree. I think it was supposed to be longer. And then they had to go back and cut in order to make room for this other, preview of this other show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think I would agree. That's kind of like the business of being a distributor
exactly.
At that point, you know,
they have
a goal, and yes, you're right. They're utilizing all, you know, the Outlander audience to, mm-hmm. they're leveraging the audience to get them in as a lead in to this new show, which by the way, it looks really effing good, and I really want to watch
it.
Yeah, except I don't want that. I want my extra 15 minutes of Outlander. Trust me, I'm going to have enough time in Droughtlander to watch a new show.
I know.
You don't have to bait me by stealing my 15 minutes or whatever it would have been.
All right, let's get some emails here. We got one from Kathy. She says, I wanted to take a quick minute to respond to comments made over the last few episodes, noting that the post-reunion story has felt so rushed with no room for events to breathe. And boy, do I agree. Blake, as one who has not read the book, you may be unaware that in Voyager, the print shop scene actually happens about a third of the way through. And the show, of course, put it off until well over the halfway mark. And the book, the Jamie story, happened more or less the way that it did in the show, with little cut. But the Boston story, however, was greatly expanded because RDM wanted more Frank. And given that the change was made, there's really no way the second half of the show was not going to feel all jammed up. It's not mathematically possible to present two-thirds of the story in half the total space and have it not be a dizzying roller coaster. I personally am not of the opinion that it was a good trade-off, but it is what it is. And if you are happy about more Frank in the beginning, you just have to accept the mashup that is the second half. And my question to you is this. When you look back at the season as a whole, do you feel that the beefed-up Boston storyline was justified? Now, I'm going to hold off on my answer. I'm going to ask you guys first. Do you think the Boston storyline was justified in it being beefed up? And what do you think?
I do. I actually do think it was justified. I think they did a good job. You know, when Diana Gabaldon writes a novel, she has all the time in the world to do her exposition. And she takes it. And that's why her books are so long. Mm-hmm. But the show doesn't have that luxury. And, you know, I think Voyager itself is a roller coaster. I mean, the book is just moving. We're in one place for very long. They're just off. And I think the show did a good job of that. But I think it was important. And the way that they were sort of promoing the season prior to it starting was this idea of parallel lives. And I think they needed, because television watchers needed to understand Claire's life and Jamie's life separately before they got back together. And, you know, Claire's life was living in Boston with Frank and, you know, going to medical school, dealing with their issues in their marriage, raising Brianna. And so I think that actually, that had to be told. That story had to be told. If you're just a television watcher. And what I think we all forget sometimes, because we love the books so much, is that, you know, Ron Moore is trying to serve two audiences mm-hmm. in order to keep his show going. And if it was just book readers watching the show wouldn't be as popular and wouldn't be doing as well, I think. So it has to appeal to another audience, and therefore you have to explain certain storylines. So I think it was justified. I enjoyed the first half of the season. I was sort of dreading it because we all sort of knew the direction that they were going. But I thought at the end of the day, they did a great job. They got them back together in episode, 306, mm-hmm. which we all loved. And then we were off to the races, literally, with the rest of Voyager. But, I understand why people feel this way, but I just think you have to look at it differently. It's television. It's just different.
Marvin, what do you think?
Well, Anne, you just brought up such a great point, and I know we've talked about it several times, especially on this podcast, about how important it has been for Ron to make the show its own entity and not just to serve just the book readers. And I'm even thinking about someone like you, who learned about Outlander because of the show. I mean, just think about how many even of the Outlander cast staff have learned about Outlander through the show and now have become mm-hmm. book readers and have become, interested in all things Outlander, honestly. But if it hadn't have been for the show, had they not made it so that someone who hadn't read the books before would be okay with this, would be able to understand, would be able to trust and love these characters and get to know what their world was like, then so many of these fans wouldn't have been in the first place. So I am right on board with you. I am happy that he has done this in a different way. I've always been on the board of trying to wish that there were more episodes and I can't get them. So maybe I need to go work for Stars and just be a little mole and just sit in the maybe that can be what I do over Droughtlander. Get a job at Stars and fight for more episodes.
Yeah, you know what?
Mary, I think you have enough jobs. Right? I don't think you need any more jobs. No more jobs for Mary.
Right? Hashtag no more jobs for Mary.
I can't believe that both of you are of the same opinion as me, that it was, of course, justified. So both of you are getting the first one of the day.
Bam. Yay.
Just like that. A winner. I cannot believe I was ready to battle Anne on this one. I really was, but thank you. Thank you for doing this. And I have to have a special call out here. A very special call out for Sophia from the Netherlands.
Hello, Sophia.
And Sophia wrote a beautiful long email to Mary and I, and I'm gonna read part of it here. And she says, Outlander Cast was actually the first podcast I ever listened to.
What?
So there you go. And I like the fact that most of the time you guys have a different view on each episode and that I can relate to both of mm-hmm. your opinions because deep down, I, just like Mary, am a chronic 5-kilt raider myself. And I want every episode to be fantastic and equally enjoyable. And because the whole Outlander experience has given me so much joy, I just don't like to see the bad things. And because of that, I can be a bit disappointed when I feel that the episode does not really move me in the way I wanted it to move me. Mm-hmm. And during those moments, there is Blake with his fine analyses and refreshing insights, putting words to that there is something wrong in this episode, but I just don't know what it is feeling. And she also said that she, being Dutch, is learning quite a bit of English from this podcast.
Yay!
However, she does fear that she's going to start to sound like she's from Boston. So I just want to say, Sophia, that's the best thing that could ever happen to you if you sound like you're from Boston. So there you go, girl.
I don't know.
I know, really. I think it is.
I don't know about that, Sophia.
No, that's the best. That's it. No, there's, as we always say.
Please don't go around the Netherlands saying, that's wicked pissa.
Listen.
He's a clown.
We say it here all the time. Fact, not opinion. That's just how it goes. All right, Marvin, are you ready to take a little bit of a break?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
So we wanted to remind you that episode 112 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a place of discovering the best makeup and skincare products while uncovering your confidence as a woman. So what is this Minute with Mary, you might say? Guys, it's a Minute with Me. This girl that hangs out with you when you drive in your car or you walk your dog or you make dinner. It's me. Believe it or not, instead of podcasting in my earlier days, I did pageants and I was in the television and film industry and I learned a whole bunch of makeup hacks that I never thought were really useful skills until I realized that a lot of my friends asked me for advice on what lipstick color or how to do their eyebrows like Lord John Grey or, how to take care of their skin. And it's something that I'm now able to share with you with extraordinary products. So by searching the hashtag Minute with Mary, you're going to see videos, you're going to see tips, you're going to see all sorts of things. And best of all, you can join my VIP group. And that is where I share everything. And I want to become your friend on Facebook and help you just become more confident, whether it's just skincare or just tips even with the makeup that you have and how to use it properly. That's what I'm here for. I'm a real life person that you listen to on OutlanderCast, and I want you to spend a minute with me. So if you're a patron at the $10 level and above, you get a 10% off discount, and to everyone else, you just get me for at least a minute, probably more minutes. So search the hashtag MinuteWithMary.com and search for my VIP group, because you might get some more deals there.
So now that we're back, I do want to actually do something new a little bit.
Tell me.
We have included some Patreon comments here. Mm-hmm. Now, Patreon, we have our own a separate community over there in Patreon for mm-hmm. the patrons of the show. And if you do want your comments read from Patreon, it's more likely that they will get read because, you know, there are less patrons than there are Facebook users. Mm-hmm. So become a patron for as little as $2 per month, and you can do that. But I have one here from Teresa McGuire. She says, I have a question. Do you think we, the viewers, will ever get to see the backstory of what made Galus so wackadoodle obsessed with the Jacobite cause? Can I also just time out here real quick? I've never heard anybody use the term wackadoodle except
wackadoodle.
For your mom, my darling.
When did my mom say wackadoodle?
I know she says it,
she
and I know she says
does.
It because you say it. So I think it's very funny that all of a sudden we have someone saying wackadoodle obsessed.
I know.
With the Jacobite cause and a Scottish king on the throne, that she was so willing to go to such extremes. The death payoff would have been so much better if we knew some of that. So Galus in season one was so intriguing and more layered character in season one. And this season, she was just straight up cray cray.
Cray cray.
The intrigue and mysterious elements to her character was missing in season three. And I guess just as the show watcher, I wanted a Garrison Commander episode for Galus in season three. And my God, yes. If we had one more episode, I would have freaking died to see a Garrison Commander style episode.
What do you mean a Garrison Commander style episode?
Well, just getting that, like, Blackjack Randall was Blackjack Randall. He was flat. He was what he was until Garrison Commander. You saw the sparks in him as a character that...
You wanted to spend a day with Galus.
I wanted to spend a day with Galus and see why she got so crazy. And I mean, not to say that she wasn't, you know, a little off kilter to begin, like, you know, all of her dogs weren't barking, you know, in the beginning. But like there weren't even any dogs in season three. OK, so I would love to have seen that. I think that would have been.
Well, I think that we saw some of that in season two when you saw Jillian and her cause. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in no way am I trying to imply that any of my Scottish friends are Galus crazy, but the Scottish independence movement to this day, I mean, there is such passion on the side of that movement. And I have friends in Scotland who are just over the top about Scottish independence. I mean, it is a strongly held belief. And now, I don't think any of these people are going to go out and commit murder over it, but it has been around for a very, very long time. And I think that in season two, there was some exposition about Galus and how passionate she was about the cause. And you saw her, and she talked about it. You know, she talked about it with Brianna and Roger, and you saw her leading, you know, the rally at the university. So, yeah, I mean, I think there would be some interesting moments if she got a little bit longer to explain why she felt this way. But I think we understood. And if you know anything about Scottish history, you know that this is just a long-standing, passionate, going way, 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 way back and continuing to this day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of the great things about Outlander is that there's so much real history that you can pull out of this great love story and this great adventure. And it's actually one of the things that I really, really love mm-hmm. about the show. And I love writing about it. And I've written about it in a couple pieces for the blog. And I hope to continue to do so because It's great stuff. It's really interesting.
Go to outlandercast.com and read all of Anne's stuff. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
All right, ladies, are you ready for some voicemails?
Yeah.
All right, yes. Let's do it.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Alyssa from Colorado. First time calling in, so we'll see how this goes. What do I think about the season finale of season 3 of Outlander? Definitely a little roller coaster, not gonna lie, but there were some parts where I was just like, really, guys? Really? Like, Galus, the whole scene with Galus played out very beautifully, but it was sort of, but whenever they did the overhead shot of her with the blood and everything, I'm sorry, Mary, I know you don't like blood, and her face, I was just like, yep, prop. There we go, that's the prop, definitely. And then whenever they were on the ship and Ian's just like, I want to go up there. I can't stand being down here and just rocking about in the darkness. And Clay's like, you don't have any choice about it. And she goes up anyway. And Ian's like, wait a second, why do you get to go? And she's like, I'm the ship's surgeon. Yeah, so it's just, and she might as well have just been saying, I'm the main character. I get to go. I like this episode a lot, but holy God. I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing about that. But yay, we're finally in America, the Colonials, and I'm so excited. Hopefully we get to meet George Washington and all those wonderful guys, Paul Revere and everything, and I'm really excited to see how they're going. I haven't read anything past Voyager, so I'm really excited to see where it goes. Have a nice day. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And goodbye.
Thank you for calling in. I guarantee you, here's another outlandish theory of the week.
Tell me.
That they are totally going to run into George Washington. And I guarantee you somehow they're going to get themselves with like involved with like Benedict Arnold in some way. And that's going to be like the problem. That's going to be like the thing that sets the story forward. That's how I feel.
We're now definitely going to have to watch Hamilton, I guess, huh?
Apparently.
Like our friend Deidre suggested.
Hello. My name is Natalie. I'm a first-time caller. Anyway, I wanted to make one small suggestion for maybe your future broadcasts. You know, when you go out into the world, you know, and if you're named after your parents, you don't really refer to yourself as Junior or anything. So how about a new rule? As soon as, as long as Ian is nowhere in the vicinity of either Lely Brock or his father, just call him Ian, not Wee Ian or Lil Ian. It's just a suggestion. Anyway, it worked for the author. Worked quite well. Anyway, see you. And I love the finale. Bye.
Okay, Nellie, thank you for the suggestion.
Maybe Nellie is a wee Nellie, and she didn't like being wee Nellie.
I mean, hey, it worked for Diana. I mean, why wouldn't it work for us? I don't see any reason why not. Maybe we can make an amendment to one of the commandments. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Hey guys, this is Rachel. It's my first time calling in. I was listening to your live show, and Blake, I heard you complaining about how they jumped from the scene of Claire killing Galus straight to them, you know, having that kind of foreplay on the boat, on the ship, excuse me. In the show you were saying that you thought that it was weird that she had this kind of like very strong reaction where she was shaking immediately afterwards, but then went straight to sex. And you were comparing it to season 1 after she kills that guy who tried to rape her, the first soldiers that attacked her and Jamie, and how she kind of freaked out after that and ran to the stones. But I think that she's not freaking out about killing Galus. I don't think she regrets that, and I think she would have done that again in a heartbeat and, like, wasn't freaked out about killing Galus herself, but more so that she realized that she was holding Galus' bones back when she and Joe Abernathy were talking about the remains of the woman who was found in a cave in Jamaica. I think she kind of like realized that she had been the one who killed her and like kind of had that weird reaction to it. So just wanted to check that in. Tired of just yelling it at my phone. thanks for the great show. Sayonara.
So, you know, I think that actually makes sense. What do you ladies think about that? Do you think Claire was referring to why she was freaking out was because she realized that she killed Galus?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think she realized, you know, that she actually had seen the bones, and she'd been the one responsible for almost cutting the lady's head off, as Joe referred to her. But I also think the whole moment was just shocking for, I mean, it would be for anybody. Mm-hmm. It was done out of, I mean, she saw her going towards the, and I actually didn't notice this until like the third watch of the episode. The Galus was actually kind of making a run for it. I mean, jewels and blood sacrifice be damned. Mm-hmm. She was just going to jump in that pool. And I didn't really realize that until I watched it, that she was going for the pool. Mm-hmm. And Claire was just like, no, like, you're not going back to kill my daughter. And, you know, that just all went down so fast. I think it was a little bit of both. I think she was freaked out that she actually, she was looking down at the knife and, you know, the bloody knife. And I'm sure she was like, whoa, did I really do that? But then just hearkening back to the scene with Joe Abernathy in the hospital, I think that also probably shook her up a little bit. So I don't disagree, but I think it was probably both.
Mm-hmm.
I even think it was just the whole idea of, holy smokes, why is time traveling still happening over here? You know, her mind was just blown. She thought it was just at Craig Nadun, and then here it is, and someone can possibly go after her daughter. And that adrenaline rush of learning this information in the last episode. Knowing that there's a possibility of this happening elsewhere, and now someone you love can be in danger via this. Also, her being drawn to it herself so much, too. I know it was such a traumatic experience for her, and how terrible it feels for them, just from especially the descriptions in the book about how bad it feels to time travel. And I'm wondering even if some of those vibes come through your body and kind of last with you for a little bit, even if you don't go through.
Mm. Hey, Mary and Blake. It's Suzanne from Northern Maine. Just calling to say, five kills all the way for the finale. And so bummed that I couldn't come to the party. It sounded like you guys had a great time.
Oh, we did, and we miss you.
The main reason I'm calling, well, I just wanted to say my absolutely great for this episode was Lord John Grey cutting down Captain Leonard, and I thought that was the best part of the episode, but... I just thought the whole episode was great, and Mary, I totally agree with you. I also thought that the storm reminded me of the movie The Perfect Storm, and I went through Aniki on Kauai, and when the eye passed over the island, it was like a beautiful summer day. For like 15, 20 minutes, we had a beautiful sunny sky with no wind, so I can definitely see how that can happen. Anyway, the main reason I'm calling is during the Droughtlander, if you need something to do, I recommend reading or listening to a trilogy called A Discovery of Witches. They're filming it right now, written by Deborah Harkness. If you haven't read it, it's a great trilogy, and it's a great thing to latch onto during Droughtlander. So A Discovery of Witches is the first book. It's called the All Souls Trilogy. And like I said, they're starting to film it now in Wales. And go for it. It's a good thing to do during Droughtlander. Anyway, I'll miss all of you during the next several months. Or 9 months, I guess, and talk to everybody again in September. Have a great Christmas and New Year. Aloha.
Yay! Believe it or not, that is the book that I'm going to start reading in Droughtlander. Just arrived from Amazon today.
I started reading it on my way to Providence, believe it or not.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. I knew kind of what it was about because some of the other writers had been reading it as well. But they really get right into the whole witch thing, like in page two. The actor who plays one of the main characters is Matthew Good. I don't know if you all.
Oh, yeah. From Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Yes.
So he's the actor that's playing like the main vampire in the first book. And actually, I just saw him on an episode of The Crown, and he is fantastic. He's a great actor. So that's going to be great. And they are, yeah, they are in the midst of filming that whole series right now, awesome. Or at least the first book.
So is it sacrilege to play this?
Say it out loud.
I don't know. I feel like I have to. I feel like every time the word vampire comes up, I have to play it.
Hi, Mary Blake. This is Lisa from San Diego, and I just wanted to let you know I watched the live podcast last night.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You guys did a great job. I was very jealous of everybody that got to go, but I appreciate that you guys tried to include us in some way, so that was really fun. As far as the episode goes, I did enjoy it. The more I think about it, I keep thinking back to the season 2 finale, Dragonfly and Amber, which was 90 minutes long, and just how that was set up kind of like a mini movie. It was so well paced. I thought it was so good. And this one just seems so crazy. Like, there were so many things that just jumped from thing to thing. Like, when Fergus goes to tell Lord John about Jamie being arrested, like, we don't even see that. And then Claire goes to talk to Galus, and all of a sudden she's locked in a bedroom. We don't see the in-between. And then all of a sudden Jamie's there and lets her out. And then they go see the tribal dance and the Campbells, and things just, like, are going crazy. And I just feel if we had an extra half hour, we could have really, excuse me, built the tension, and the pacing would have been a little better. But I did love the ending. The ship was so exciting, and just the emotion on the beach, of course, is just gorgeous. And so I appreciated that. I'm hoping next season we get a few more extended episodes. I think that would be really fun. And I think the show deserves it. So it'll be interesting to see when the script comes out, like what they did cut. I think they did originally intend for it to be a longer episode. So we'll just see what happens with that. Anyways, I appreciate all you guys have done this season. I'm looking forward to the Droughtlander podcast with you, and I'll be doing some rereading of the books, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in. I really agree with actually this idea that the back half of the finale was really, really, really good, especially on the beach. And I feel, like, I'm not sure how you guys feel, but I always feel that the show is at its best when it's Jamie and Claire together in these quiet moments, in this small style show, not with these big, grandiose things like trying to prevent the Jacobite Rebellion or, you know, going to Abindawe and Jamaica and this and that. I always feel like it's at its best in these small moments. And I hope that we get more of that in season 4 when they're in Georgia. I'm hoping that they build on that kind of that kind of vocabulary. What do you think, Anne?
Yeah, I think we will. But I also think what we have to remember is that Jamie and Claire, their life is just one big adventure.
Yes.
So, you know, that is part of who they are. That is part of who they are as a couple. It just follows them wherever they go. So there's going to be good moments. There are beautiful moments between the two of them throughout every single book in the series. I mean, I'm only through, you know, book five, and I've seen those moments, you know, many, many times, but just who they are is just this adventuresome couple that trouble seems to follow. So there's going to be a lot of both. And I think that the television show has to balance, you know, the adventure with the Jamie and Claire, because, you know, that is, to me, that's the story. It's Jamie and Claire and what happens to them. And so that's how I think.
Are you guys ready for an all-star? Are you ready for this?
An all-star?
Yes. It's ready for an all-star.
Hey, now.
Hi, it's Teddy from New Jersey. I was
Yay, Teddy.
To be at the Outlander cast finale party in Providence, and I saved up my viewing to make sure I was a finale virgin. So it was the first time I was watching it with all the fun people and the staff of Outlander cast. My good is the scene in the cave, the ending, you know, when Galus gets, you know, the chopper. I really thought that was well done. It was exciting. I liked it. The silly bad is how the cave was like 3 feet away from the bonfire ceremony thing. That was kind of funny. That was my silly bad. My kind of silly bad was how Mr. Willoughby, or Yi Tian Cho, hooked up with Margaret. That was kind of interesting. And the great was the CGI of the whole storm scene with mm-hmm. the ship on the humongous waves. And I had downloaded the episode so I could watch it on the plane on the way home. And at the time, at the same time that the ship was getting wrecked and tossed and everything else, the plane was having turbulence. So it was like I was right in the middle of it. It was so fun. Anyways, I hope for more Outlander Cast get-togethers. It was an awesome event. And for someone who had a hard time with part of the season, the last couple of episodes and the finale made me really happy. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good. I really need to isolate that. I really, really need to do that.
You need to make that one of your little sound things.
Yes. I know.
When someone dies in Outlander.
Goodbye.
That's
yeah,
what we need.
Goodbye.
Yes.
You know, I think the bad that Teddy talked about, the Willoughby Margaret thing, you know, I don't really buy that, but it was really something. I mean, I have to say, it was really something Tony Graffia really, really wanted that. And I've heard her now say this more than once. They thought it was going to be, it was so cute that the two of them got together because they were sort of mystical people and they saw that in each other and they thought it would be kind of nice. So, okay. I don't know. I thought it was strange, but
yeah,
I guess.
I agree.
You know.
I agree. I think, I mean, I'll go along to get along, but yeah. It was just like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're staring at each other longingly at this party, and you're like, okay, like, how the hell did this happen? Like,
I think they just wanted to make sure that those characters who we would have been watching and feeling either love towards or feeling bad for with Margaret,
right.
That they just wanted us to feel like we could end the season with a little bow on them. Like, don't worry about it, guys. They were okay.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of love in the writer's room. I think they were all feeling it because they were very committed to that storyline, sounds yep. like to me. So. You know, that's fine.
All right,
I can let that one go.
We got a few more here. We'll get through these.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Rana calling from England about the season 3 finale of Outlander that wow. I absolutely adored. I would give it 4.8 kilts. Not yet a 5, though, just because of my initial reaction from watching it. The first time I watched it, I found certain parts rather uncomfortable, awkward, and a bit cliche. Like the scenes on the ship, during the storms, I kind of got sick of hearing them shout Jamie and Claire so many times. But apart from that, there were scenes that I absolutely loved, and I haven't stopped scrolling through Tumblr and various fan accounts of my favorite scenes. But what I love about Outlander Cast and the Outlander Cast clan gathering is the discussions that we have and how other people can help you understand the episode more. So at first I hated that underwater kiss. I just thought it was really odd that you do that. But then someone clarified to me that they thought Jamie wasn't kissing Claire, but transferring much needed air until he could get her up to the surface, that I found fascinating. So thank you so much for the community you've built. And thank you for your podcast. I've been listening since season 1. And I hope we all survive the Droughtlander.
Thank you, Rana. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And can I just say one thing? I could listen to Rana just read the phone book. That was just entranced. That was amazing. I just
please, beautiful accent.
Just mm-hmm. please call back in and just read the phone book. I'd be happy with that. I'd be totally cool.
Almost as good as the Scottish girl from last week.
Yes. Yes.
I know.
She was awesome too.
That was great.
Hi, this is Judy. I'm calling from New Jersey. I've been a longtime listener to your podcast and first time caller. My good was Galus finally getting what she so much deserves, getting her head nearly severed off by Claire. I love that scene. My bad was too much time with that voodoo dancing party. It was just it just went on and on and on. I think they could have cut that off, a lot of that out. and the great, I have to say, is the sex talk and sex scenes with Claire and Jamie. I so missed that this season. We didn't get enough of that. I know they're in their 50s, but geez, they needed to include that a little more. I am just, you know what the bad is too? That we have to wait till 2018 to see another season. I can't wait a whole year. I hope they, you know, release it earlier. But thanks for listening. Love you.
No, we love you too. I think we'll probably, it's not going to be a full year. It'd be like 9 months probably. I think they're hoping for another September release.
I like this time frame. Do you like this time frame, Anne?
I do. It works. And I do think they're going to release it in September of 2018. I think that's the goal. And they, you know, they're well into filming season mm-hmm. four. I want to say they're at least in the second block mm-hmm. of filming. So they should be. And I believe I heard Katrina say on an interview this week that they'll be filming through June.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah. So that would make sense for them to do a September release, because then most of the, all of the post for at least the first couple of episodes by that time will be done.
I just like this time of year. It's like it starts to get a little cool, so you don't mind staying in more watching TV, and then it's wrapped up by the holidays. So I'm down too. In September.
I'm down.
Mary and Blake, oh my goodness, what am I going to do without you guys?
This
is Denise from Bellingham, Washington. You might remember my sister, Darlene.
Yes.
Who left you a voicemail about a month ago letting you know that our family is originally from New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Hey, girl.
And we grew up with accents like yours, Blake, all around us.
Damn straight.
We eventually migrated to California, but it just brings us so much joy to hear you. I actually am calling just to say thank you, because it has been a really tough year for our family. We lost my father in April, and it's been tender and achy, and your podcast has been such a joy for me and my sister. Causes so much giggles and laughter. We'll call each other and talk about it after the show and after your podcast, and it's just been such a healing force, and I thought it was really important that you both knew that. As far as the last episode, the only thing I have to offer is that, oh my gosh, I'm such a cinematography nerd, and I loved that scene in the water. I'm such a fan of unspoken beauty and connection, and I thought that was so beautifully done, among many other scenes like that this entire season. But what do you think, Blake, about doing Counterpart, both of you guys, for the next podcast? It's sci-fi, which I know you like. And so far, it's really cool. I watched the first episode. Love you guys.
Well, we love you too. And I know I can speak for Mary sitting across the way from me, and Anne, who's on the line, and all the blog staff writers, mm-hmm. when we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I'm sorry for your loss. Losing a parent is always hard, but if we can help supply just 1 ounce of laughter, I know it helps you, but more importantly, it gives us so much pleasure to do so, and to be able to share some kind of good feeling with you. So thank you for that very kind message. And as far as Counterpart, well, if the clan votes on it, when we get on our
patrons,
if the patrons come up here and come up big, and the clan votes on it, then yes, we will totally do Counterpart. And like I said, I do want to watch it. So I think that should be good. All right, we get the last voicemail here. Here we go.
Hello from the Highlands of Scotland.
Yes,
it's Kirsten Lang here, gaining my tuppence worth about the finale. Jings. Gaelis, from a nympho carry to a coarse crazy kayak, who is Looney Tunes mental. Claire had no choice but to chip her one and leave her with a shuggled, buckled heat at the side of that Stargate-like pool portal thingy.
Oh, yes.
We'll miss her, but at least we don't have to listen to her talking about her husband's walloper anymore. Lord John Grey, making toddler sailor boy look like a dunderheed. Just quality. And thank goodness for those shovel-to-the-face coincidences. Otherwise, Claire and Ian would be pan-breed deed. Jamie, not only good at fisticuffs, but a Selkie man from Atlantis rescuing New Moon-like Floaty Claire and Ship Nookie, yeah, beauty. Who knew nay shaving and possible shared razor rash would lead to such descriptive jiggery pokery? I've loved season three, but I'll miss the show, and I'll miss my weekly Blake and Mary. But thanks, that's all for me, because I'm running out of time. Bye.
Okay. I'm meeting this lady when I go to Scotland.
Yes! Jiggery pokery.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
New Moon Claire.
Selkie.
And Looney Tunes Wacky.
Can we just listen to it one more time?
Yes, we can.
Please.
Hello from the Highlands of Scotland. It's Kirsten Lang here, again, my tuppence worth about the finale. Jings. Gaelis. From a nympho carry to a coarse crazy kayak. Who is Looney Tunes mental? Claire had no choice but to chip her one and leave her with a shuggled, buckled heat at the side of that Stargate-like pool portal thingy.
Stargate, yes.
We'll miss her, but at least we don't have to listen to her talking about her husband's walloper anymore.
Husband's walloper?
Lord Donnery, making toddler sailor boy look like a dunderheat. Just quality. And thank goodness for those shovel-to-the-face coincidences. Otherwise, Claire and Ian would be pan-breed deed. Jamie, not only good at fisticuffs, but a Selkie man from Atlantis rescuing New Moon-like Floaty Claire.
Floaty?
And Ship Nookie. Yeah, beauty.
Ship
Who knew nay shaven and possible shared razor rash would lead to such descriptive jiggery pokery?
Jiggery
I've loved season three, but I'll miss the show. And I'll miss my weekly Blake and But thanks, that's all for me, because I'm running out of time. Bye.
Oh,
thank
Kirsten.
You, Kirsten. Thank you.
You know what?
Jiggery pokery. Pokery. Oh,
that was freaking awesome. I'm going to miss you, Kirsten. Like, legitimately.
Toddler boy.
Oh, my God. That was the first time we've ever played a voicemail twice.
I love it.
Instant Hall of Fame. Instant Mary and Blake Hall of Fame right there. All right, ladies.
Oh,
before we put the hounds back, do we have any final thoughts on the finale? And I will start with you.
Well, just I thought it was a great season. You know, I think the production just does such a great job, and you know, I really love the passion that they have. I have to say, Matt Roberts, God love him. I mean, the man is a workaholic, and he loves the show, and it just shows. You know, it really shows, and the cast, the crew, everybody, all the love to them. They worked so hard, and I think they did a terrific job. I'm going to miss them, but I think we're going to have a lot of great stuff coming down the pike at the Outlander Cast blog and podcast, so I'm excited for all of our off-season work that we're going to be doing and sharing with everybody, and then continuing to grow our community in the Outlander Cast clan gathering, so... Yes, that's it from me.
Find it all at outlandercast.com.
That's right. That's right.
Shameless plug. Mary, what do you got?
Oh, I'm just, you know, we get a really different rhythm in Droughtlander, and I cannot wait just to keep rewatching all of this season and all of the seasons and delving more into the deep discussions that we're going to have in the clan. I can't wait to see what our patrons vote for us to have a new podcast for during the Droughtlander. I can't wait to interview different cast and crew during Droughtlander, because that's what we do during Droughtlander. I'm just a happy camper. Listen.
So, by the way,
all the feels.
The unofficial leaders for the podcast, even though we haven't gotten to our group, like our mark yet of $1,600 per month, but the unofficial leaders for our next podcast are the Americans and This Is Us. Those are the two unofficial leaders. So I just want to throw that out there.
Neither of which I have watched.
Oh my God! And I mean I haven't watched This Is Us, but you are missing out on the Americans.
But maybe if we podcast about it, and we'll watch.
Yes, that's
you never know.
A perfectly
you
never
good know.
And for myself, final word. I enjoyed this season. Look out for some of the new episodes that Mary and I will be coming out with. We will be talking about season three as a whole, and with some other people. And going over that, breaking it down, analyzing it, and I'm actually really looking quite forward to this. And I actually have another outlandish theory for all of you. Y- you get two outlandish theories for this listener feedback podcast. I guarantee you, guarantee that season 5 will be ordered by Starz. And season 5 will be happening. And
when?
I bet they will put the order in for season 5 either right before season 4 airs or during right in the beginning of season 4 when it airs, because they're going to start filming if they want to keep the same pace. So in order to gear all that up, you might even see it like a couple of months before season 4 airs.
Depending. Yeah, I think it's got to be a couple months before because they got to start breaking scripts and all that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be beginning of the year.
Right. So I mean, it's going to be right around there. So season 5 will be happening, and not because I'm a know-it-all, I'm certainly not, but Chris Parnell, who is the head of Sony Television, has come out and saying that they're already having talks about season 5, and then even saying we at Sony, who is the producer of the show, who owns Outlander and Starz is the one who distributes it to the United States. Mm-hmm. He's saying that Sony wants to do every season the way that Diana has written it. That's what Sony wants, and it's up to Starz to help make that happen. And that, to me, is letting the negotiations out, saying, we want to make this happen. Now we're putting pressure on Starz to follow through. As such, their season 5 is going to happen because you would never let that information out. You would never do it in a negotiation. So, to me, it's going to happen. So, that is my final word on this podcast. My love, are you ready to...
Hold up. I have one more thing.
All right, please, go ahead.
That needs to be addressed.
Let's do it. What do you got?
What about the BBC?
What do you mean, the BBC?
Your BBC.
Oh, yeah. No, that's actually going to start happening very soon, as a matter of fact.
What is the BBC, for people who don't know?
Blake's Book Club, talking about a chapter-by-chapter analysis of the first book of the Outlander series, Outlander. And I'm actually already about halfway through. Actually, technically, I'm halfway through. I'm on chapter 23.
So if you are nervous about not having your weekly fix of Outlander Cast, you really will want to join as a $2 at least level patron at patreon.com/outlandercast, because Blake's going to be popping out these chapter by chapters. And I'm going to tell you here, I'm going to appear in a couple of them.
She already has appeared on one of them.
I know, so. I'm going to appear in more.
Well, then I cannot wait.
Me
and
too.
I know Anne listens to the BBC. Are you enjoying the BBC?
I do enjoy it sometimes.
Other times I just piss you off,
no,
right?
Most of the time I enjoy it.
All right. Well, ladies, are you ready to close out this People's Choice Award winning episode of Outlander Cast?
Nice. Yes.
I just got the BAFTA in yesterday, as a matter of fact. We were nominated, but I got it in.
Put so it in our studio.
I got to get it up in the studio. Are you ready to close it out?
Ready.
All right, let's do it.
Ladies and gents, it has been nothing short of an honor to spend time with you this season. I know that your time is special and sacred, and we are with you in some intimate moments of times when you just get to chill out and listen to us chat about one of your favorite shows. So I just wanted to thank you, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, from Blake's heart, from all of us at Outlander Cast, for being a member of the clan, for listening to our podcast, for being a patron, for whichever role you are, just know that you are incredibly loved and incredibly special to us. This all started because Blake and I were lonely Outlander fans, and we didn't know if there were others of you out there, and we just sent out our little smoke signal over the podcast feed, and you're there. You're there.
And tens of thousands of you are there.
And it has been so wonderful. So let's keep these conversations going. Make sure you're a member of the Outlander Cast clan gathering. Make sure you're a member of the Outlander Cast book club if you want to chat about the future with the books, if you've read them. And please, please, please continue to email, reach out, join as a patron at Patreon. That's patreon.com/outlandercast to join in the discussions with us there, to help us and know that you really love us, that you really do. And as Blake said, you get to decide our next podcast. And this is no small feat. Like, literally, you get to choose it. I'm a little nervous, but I'm really excited because it means that many of you are going to be interested in this. So whether it's a show, whether it's a movies, whether it's anything, the world is your oyster.
We're close, too. We're only $140 away.
So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's really all I have to say.
Yeah.
So happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy New Year, happy Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day and Easter and Cinco de Mayo, aka Cinco de Mary. And please, please, please just know we love you and we'll be in touch soon. Until next time, folks, I'm Mary Larson.
I'm Galus's husband's walloper.
And this is Anne.
And you have been listening to Outlander Cast. Thanks, everybody.